Alrighty. So if any of you don't know, my name is Derek Reichert, and I've been attending here since last winter, and I've very much enjoyed it. It's an awesome place to worship God, and I very much enjoyed coming here and learning from the Word of God. So it's my turn to finally preach. Pretty nervous about this, so if you bear with me. If I could get everyone to turn their Bibles to Proverbs 27:17. So that's Proverbs 27:17. I've labeled my sermon tonight, The Real Deal. And I will get to that very shortly. I've always wanted to teach a sermon on my favorite Bible passage, as I learned this one during a Teens Challenge. I've done this actually with a couple of the youth here, where we learn my Bible verses and we go against other churches and you memorize them, and it's like a quizzing game. Just to, you know, get you going and learning Bible verses. And I learned it during doing that, and it's always stuck with me. It's just an amazing passage. So Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There we go. It's a small verse that packs a huge punch. It's so important, especially in the day and age that we live in, to understand the ramifications that this verse has and how we can apply it to our lives. I want to start out, though, by looking at some of the great friendships we see throughout the Bible. Sorry if the slideshow's a little fuzzy as well. I hope you can see most of that at least. Genesis 14, verse 14 to 16, talks about Abraham and Lot. Abraham reminds us of the loyalty of loyalty and going above and beyond for friends. Abraham gathered hundreds of men to rescue Lot from captivity. Ruth 1, chapter 16 to 17, talks about Ruth and Naomi. Friendships can be forged among different ages and from anywhere. In this case, Ruth became friends with her mother-in-law, and they became family, looking out for one another throughout their lives. In 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 3, we hear about David and his best friend, Jonathan. Sometimes friendships form almost instantaneously. Have you ever met someone that you knew immediately was going to be a good friend? Well, that's how David and Jonathan were. In 2 Kings 2:2, we hear about Elijah and Elisha. Friends stick it out with one another, and Elisha shows us that by not letting Elijah go to Bethel alone. And then there's Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everyone's heard that story, and Daniel 2:49. While friends were out looking for one another, While friends look out for one another, like Daniel did when he requested that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be promoted to high positions, sometimes God leads us to help our friends and help others. The three friends went on to show King Nebuchadnezzar that God is great and that he is the only God. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:19-26, we hear about Paul talks about the loyalty of friends and the willingness of those close to us to look out for one another. In this case, Timothy and Epaphroditus are the types of friends that take care of those close to them. Now, these are just a few of the many relationships and friendships that we find in the Bible. Tonight, I want us to think together about true friendship, as the passage in Proverbs tells us. A true friend is one who builds up. They will try to help you become a better person. But how do we know to look for in a friend? Let's pray before we start. Dear God, just thank you for all you do, Lord, and thank you for this great turnout tonight, Lord, and just help me to bring forth this message and help it to be clear enough so everyone understands and that they can apply it to their lives. Just thank you for the beautiful weather, and just thank you for the Bible and all the messages that we can get out of it, Lord, as it's so applicable to our lives. So thank you for all you do in your holy and high name, amen. So the first point I want to talk about is a true friend encourages you. A true friend will help you do what you have to do. They will seek to bring support to you. Each of us has times in our lives when things come up that we wouldn't choose to go through, but we nevertheless find that we have to go through it. It is at times like this that we need true friends. True friends who will encourage us and help us do what we have to do by supporting us in the midst of it all. Oftentimes, this doesn't even require us to say anything. It is simply enough just to be there. A story I found talked about a young boy who was sent to the corner store by his mother to buy a loaf of bread. He was gone much longer than it should have taken him. When he finally returned, his mother asked, "Where have you been? I've been worried sick about you." "Well," he answered, "there was a little boy on the side of the road with a broken bicycle who was crying, so I stopped to help him." "I didn't know you knew anything about fixing bikes," his mother said. "I don't," he replied. "I just stayed there and cried with him." Encouragement means coming alongside to impart courage to another. This is what a true friend does for us when we find ourselves facing things that we have to go through. Whether we like it or not, they come alongside us to lend support to us. There was a newspaper in England that gave a reward for the best definition of a friend. Thousands answered, and the winning entry was this: "A friend is one that comes when everyone else goes. A true friend encourages you. A true friend exhorts you." The definition of exhort is to urge, advise, or caution earnestly, admonish urgently, to give urgent advice, recommendations, or warnings. A true friend will help you do what you ought to do. They will seek to bring you strength. Oftentimes in life, we find ourselves facing things we'd really rather not have to deal with, but we have to deal with them. Things we may not feel have the strength to face, but nevertheless, we need to face them. It is at such times that a true friend shows his or her true colors. A true friend will seek to strengthen you so that you might tackle those difficult things in life that you know you have to do, but sometimes find that you don't have the strength to do by yourself. We see in the Bible how the Apostle Paul wrote letters to the churches that were both encouraging and condemning. They needed to work on what they had. He urged the church of Corinth to remember that God and his teachings and not to turn away and disobey. He exhorted that church as he wanted the best for those people and wanted to see them grow in their relationship with God. Another example of exhortation can be found in the American history books. General Ulysses S. Grant had a man who was a true friend to him like this. His name was John A. Rawlings. He was the general's chief of staff. It was to Rawlings that Grant gave his pledge that he would abstain from alcohol. When he broke this pledge, Rawlings went to Grant and with great earnestness pleaded with him and successfully persuaded him to reaffirm his commitment to turning away from alcohol. Today, in front of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., there stands a monument of General Grant, sitting on his horse in dramatic pose. At the other end of the Pennsylvania Avenue, and a little to the south, is Rawlings Park, where there is another statue, a very ordinary, commonplace-looking statue of John A. Rawlings, the man responsible for keeping General Grant from falling off of his horse. Dealing with the crippling effects of alcohol abuse in his life was something that Ulysses S. Grant knew he ought to do, but couldn't find the strength to do on his own. But a true friend named John A. Rawlings came alongside to exhort him and help him get the strength he needed to do what he ought to do. And not only was Grant better for it, so was the nation. Even when it's hard and you might be afraid to tell your friend the truth, we need to remember that the truth is always the best option, and we can save a lot of heartache and pain in the long run. A friend is someone who tells me the truth about me. I want to know when my work stinks or I'm being hurtful or bad. I expect my friends to save me from myself. In Proverbs 27:6, it talks about faithful are the wounds of a friend. A true friend tells you what you ought to know and then helps you do what you ought to do and correct it. A true friend exhorts you. A true friend empowers you. A true friend will help you do what you need to do. They will seek to bring success to you. We all have things in our lives that need to be addressed in order that we might be successful. Be successful for what God has in mind for us. Often it will involve life change or character development. A true friend will help us. Back in the 15th century, in a tiny village near Nuremberg, lived a family with 18 children. To keep food on the table, the father, a goldsmith by profession, worked almost 18 hours a day. at his trade and any other paying chore he could do in the neighborhood. Despite their seemingly hopeless condition, two of the children had a dream. They both wanted to pursue their talent of art, but they knew full well that their father could never financially support them and let them go to Nuremberg to study at the academy. After many discussions, the two boys finally worked out a pact. They would toss a coin. The loser would go down into the nearby mines and with his earnings support his brother while he attended the academy. Then when that brother who won the toss completed his studies, he would switch and help his brother while he attended school. They tossed a coin and Albrecht won the toss and went off to Nuremberg. Albert, the other brother, went down to the mines and for the next 4 years financed his brother, whose work at the academy was almost an instant success. By the time he graduated, he was beginning to earn considerable fees for his commission works. When he returned to his village, the family held a festive dinner to celebrate his triumphant homecoming. After the meal, Albrecht rose to make a toast to his beloved brother, who had been working in those mines all those years, who had made that Albrecht to fulfill his ambition. His closing words to the speech were, "And now, Albert, blessed brother of mine, it is your turn. Now you can go to Nuremberg to pursue your dream, and I will take care of you." Albert rose and said softly, "No, brother, I cannot go to Nuremberg. It is too late for me. Look what 4 years in the mines have done to my hands. The bones in every fingers have been smashed at least once. And lately I have been suffering from arthritis so badly in my right hand that I cannot even hold the glass to return your toast, much less make delicate lines with pen or brush. No, brother, it's too late for me." More than 450 years have passed by now. By now, Albrecht Dürer's hundreds of masterful portraits hang in every great museum in the world. But the odds are great that you, like most people, are familiar with only one of them. You actually might have it hanging in your walls. I know our family does. To pay homage to Albert, of all he had sacrificed, Albrecht Dürer drew his brother's hands with palms together and fingers stretched skyward. He called this powerful drawing Hands, but the world has renamed his tribute of love the Praying Hands. It is a tribute to true friendship, a love that is willing to do whatever is required to see another succeed. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." John 15:13. In conclusion, is it your desire to have a friend like that? Then be that kind of friend. Seek to relate to others in your life in such a way that you bring support, strength, and success to them. Charlie Brown asked Linus, "What would you do if you felt that nobody liked you?" Linus responded, "Well, Charlie Brown, I guess I would take a real hard look at myself, ask if I am doing anything that turns people off, how can I improve myself, do I need a change in some way? Yep, that's my answer, Charlie Brown." Charlie Brown says, "I hate that answer." You may hate Linus's answer too, but it is also God's answer. If I am to have friends, I must be a friend. "I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Who do you know who needs you to be a true friend to them today? Someone who needs your support to help them do what they have to do? Someone who needs your strength to help them do what they ought to do? Someone who needs to be helped to succeed by doing what they need to do?" To recap, let us be the kind of friend that encourages, exhorts, and empowers each other for the glory of God. Like it says in Proverbs 27:17, we need to sharpen each other and bring each other closer and stronger to God. Stay away from people that will dull you instead of sharpen. We need to be the friends that we want. So my question to you tonight is, are you guys the real deal? Let's pray. Dear God, just thank you for all you do, Lord, and just thank you for allowing us to know that we can be that friend and that we need to honor you with what we do. And if we want to have those kind of friends, Lord, we need to be that kind of friend to others. And we will have those friends that don't leave you in hard times and that honor you, Lord. And just help us to stay away from the peer pressure that will bring you down a wrong road, Lord, as there's a lot of people that will dull you. And we need to remember that we need to stick with common-minded Christians that will sharpen you and bring us closer to you. And just thank you for all you do. And just bless the rest of this service. In your holy and high name, amen.